Good morning. Good to be with everybody this morning. You know, a couple of wise men that I know. Well, I got to know one of them a little bit, and the other one I know for a lot of years. And they had sayings. And I think it's very appropriate for this morning. One of them used to say, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Amen. You've heard that a few times, haven't you? Amen. And another one said, let the church roll on. And I'm here this morning to tell you, the church is going to roll on. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Praise the Lord this morning. I am thankful that I serve the God that I serve. I am thankful for the people that I'm allowed to preach to every week. I thank God for all of you. And don't ever forget this. I love you more than you'll ever know. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And when you get there, please stand in honor of God's word. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye adulterers, for some of them, as it is written, then the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. If you ever want a good definition of adultery, right there it is, as plain and simple as you can get it. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admiration, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to thank you, Lord, this morning for what you've done, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for your love. I want to thank you, Father, for the message here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as we go out, Lord, as the word goes out, Lord, that you would get me out of the way. I pray, Father, that hearts and minds would be opened here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as we go down through this, Lord, that, Father, that your will would be done above all and above anything, Lord. I praise you. I give you the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. Welcome to all of you out in the car as well this morning. Thank you. I want to talk about three things this morning as I go down through this. I'm going to talk about the way, the error, and the doctrine of Balaam. I'm going to talk about that this morning. You're saying, where do you get that at? Well, if you read here in 1 Corinthians down through there, whenever it talks about when 23,000 had passed away, they were talking about what happened whenever Balaam, whatever happened with him. And I'm going to talk about that here this morning. There are certain things folks say about the Bible that they would not say if they spent time reading the Bible. I'm just going to put it right there to you blunt. You might hear or have heard folks say that the Bible is a boring book. Someone who says that the Bible is a boring book has never spent time in the Bible. Still others will say you cannot trust the Bible because the Bible was made by men. Again, they're not reading the same book that I read, Greg. They're not reading what I read in here. But you realize man could not have conspired to put this book together The way that it is put together and tie it all together, the New and the Old Testament. They couldn't have done it. Because man can't agree on hardly anything. They can't. Not alone putting together God's book. Now, I'm not naive. I understand that there's some parts of the Bible that are not as quite as interesting as others. I'm not that naive. I've never heard anyone stand up and testify about their favorite scripture being Leviticus 14:17. Or I've never heard anybody say that their go-to scripture in time of trouble is 1 Chronicles 1:24-25. I'll let you look all that up. I've never heard anybody stand up and say that. I understand that. But even in these scriptures, we all know this, that even in the most mundane, maybe you think are dry scriptures, if we allow God to show us, He can work in us and show us those scriptures. He can help us despite those mundane scriptures. The Bible still contains some of the most fascinating narratives and characters and plot lines in all of literature. Will you agree with Matt here this morning? I believe it does. And believe it or not, the Bible was not written. It was not written so we could copy it. It was not written to be sold or to be so people could be entertained. It was not written for that reason. They were written, these scriptures were put down here for our learning. That's what they are. They were written for us. Examples, as I said there a little bit ago. And I'm going to give you some examples here a little bit. The reason God allowed man to write down scriptures, the reason He did that from both the Old and the New Testament, and the reason it was preserved is so you and I could be taught and could be learnt in what God wants us to be taught and learnt in. That leads me to my last point of this. Well, some folks say sometimes that they show they don't understand God's will for mankind and His Word. Some people say that. We really don't need. And what they say is, we really don't need the Old Testament. There are some denominations that will say that. That we only, since Jesus Christ came, all that we need is the New Testament. But my question to anybody that you ever hear saying that, or anybody that ever even comes across with that thought, how can we say that we do not need the Old Testament when the New Testament tells us that we need the Old Testament? I just read it to you there. We have examples. All that I read to you down through there this morning, that scripture that I read to you, what they were talking about, everything Paul is telling us are examples for us, come right out of the Old Testament, out of the book of Exodus, out of the book of Numbers, and out of the book of Deuteronomy. So if somebody says that we don't need the Old Testament, take them to 1 Corinthians 10, the 10th chapter, and tell them, you read that down through there, and God's saying that we need to use these for examples. I'm going to be all over the Bible this morning. I haven't even begun to preach on the sermon that I want to start on this morning. I'm going to be all over it this morning. How many of you have a cross-reference in your Bible for verse 8 in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians? How many of you have that? Do you have a cross-reference in there? And what? And you can be interactive with me this morning. What's a cross-reference to? Does anybody have one that goes to Numbers 25:9? Yeah. And that's where we're going to go all over the place. It's going to be back in Numbers. We're going to be up in 2 Peter. We're going to be in Revelations. We're going to be in Jude this morning. So just bear with me as we get into this. Again, I want to name it. The sermon is the way, the error, and the doctrine of Balaam. In 1 Corinthians 10:8, the story of Balaam is alluded to here. The story about Balaam is one of the most interesting stories God has allowed to be written down in the Bible as far as I am concerned. It is very clear there's something God wants us to learn from the life of Balaam. If you look, he is mentioned, I believe he's mentioned 58 times in the Bible. Did you guys know that? 58 times. And some of it is directly by name and some of it is alluded to. But four of those times are in the New Testament. One of them I just read to here. And there's three others that we're going to get to here in a little bit. Balaam is first introduced to us back in Numbers 22. And when the king, and it says this here, you can turn back here if you want, because we're going to be back in Numbers, we're going to be back everywhere. But in Numbers 22, if you turn back here, I'll turn there with you, give you a chance to get it. I've got it wrote down here, but I want to look at it. Numbers 22, in verse 2, it says, and Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that all of Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid, and the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of the Midians, how shall this company lick up all that are around us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field? And Balak, the son of Zippor, was the king of the Moabites at that time. Verse 5, and he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor. We see, and if you see that, this is the first time he's mentioned. And what it tells us in Numbers 22 about Balaam, if you read on down, I'm not going to read it all. It says in Numbers 22, he prayed to God. It says in Numbers 22, Balaam heard from God. You see that? And it says in Numbers 22, Balaam claimed that Jehovah was God. In Numbers chapter 23 and 24, Balaam declared the truth that comes from God. He did all that. So there is somewhat of a kind of a relationship there. We know from the story, it wasn't a relationship that it should have been. But there's somewhat of some kind of a relationship here. But at the same time, it says this about Balaam back here. He is a heathen that is connected to divination. He's connected to enchantments in Numbers 24:1. And he's called a soothsayer over in Joshua 13:22. So these two different things are bound together. On one side, he says he knows God. On the other side, he's doing things that not of God. Could we not say this about Balaam? He has the right God, but he has the wrong heart. Amen? Can we not say that about him? He prays to God. He claims God. He hears from God. He even says something for God. He's just not interested in obeying God. Does it sound familiar today sometimes? It sounds familiar to me sometimes today. Balaam knows who God is, but he just doesn't want to obey him. Balaam knows what's right. He's just not very interested in doing what's right. Now stop here for a minute and listen to me. All these things happened unto them, as I said in 1 Corinthians, for in examples that they are written for our admiration. What that means is that's an authoritative counsel. It is a warning to all of us. All these things were written down that I just told you about him for examples for you and I. Do you have the right God? That's very important. We need the right God. But can I tell you something that's even as more important as that? Is even more important? Do you have the right heart? I say this a lot around here. There's a lot of people out here that believe in God. But you throw Jesus in the mix, and that's where it all stops. They don't want to talk about Jesus. They want to talk about God, their version, their way that they think God is, that Jesus interferes with what they think. There's a lot of people that have the right God but don't have the right heart. But even more, you know, do you have the right heart? Because it's very possible to have the right God and have the wrong heart. Very possible to have that. And the combination will mess a lot of things up in your life. That combination will make your life and everything surrounding it very, very confusing. I've seen it. People think that they have what they don't have. I've seen people go to altars and get up out of there, Jamie, you've seen it too, and go right back to what they were doing. And thinking, well, God never done nothing for me. Yeah, he never done nothing for you. And that's right. You have to be born again. The Spirit of the true and living God has to indwell you. Or coming to this altar is just that, coming to this altar. A double-minded man or a woman is unstable in all their ways, is what the Bible tells me. Balaam's end should not be what your desire for your end should be. And I get into the title of the service morning, The Way, the Error, and the Doctrine of Balaam. Turn with me to 2 Peter now, the second chapter. 2 Peter 2:2. When you get there, please say amen. Or beep. Thank you. 2 Peter 2:2 tells us, they caused the way of truth to be evil spoken of. They caused the way of truth to be evil spoken of. Let me get back here to that. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And though covetousness shall they be frayed words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, but their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world that saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them, and an overthrowing, making them an example unto those that after should live godly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with his filthy conversation of wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them is seeing and hearing vexed and righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver godly out of temptation, and to reserve unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. And chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of ungodliness and despised government. Presumptions are they self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against the Lord before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of these things, and they understand not, shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots that are blemished, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiled understanding souls, hearts that are exercised, and covetous practices, cursed children. Now here's the verse I want to concentrate on. Which have forsaken the right way and are going astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The way of Balaam. I want to talk a little bit about that first. Listen, he gives us an example of what's going on. He said these are like water, the clouds that carry with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Let's make a side note here on this. Don't ever use the Bible for profanity. Right? The donkey, in verse 16, it goes on to say, but he rebuked for his iniquity, for the dumbass speaking with men's voices forbade the madness of the prophet. What he's saying there is, the donkey shouldn't have been able to talk, is what he was trying to say. But Balaam was out of his mind. And you know what? He answered the donkey. He answered him. Go back. It says, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. This is back over in Numbers. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee? Thou hast smitten me with three times. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever want to do so unto thee? And Balaam answered and said, no. We all know what the story is going on. We know what happened. Balaam was going out to do something God didn't want him to do, right? He got on his donkey, headed out, because he was going to do something God didn't want him to do. And God put an angel in the way. The donkey seen it. The donkey was smart enough to see it. Balaam couldn't. So the donkey laid down. Matter of fact, I think it crushed his foot, or his leg. But anyway, what caused Balaam to forsake the right way? It says it was the way of Balaam. What caused him to do it? What is it? The way of Balaam. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted it after, they have erred from faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Numbers 22:7, "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands, and they come unto Balaam." They were coming to bribe him is what they were coming to do. In verse 8, "He said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam." And you know something about this scripture, what happened right here, that happens to a lot of us sometimes. You want to know about the way of Balaam? He didn't check with God. He didn't check with him whatsoever. Because you know what? You don't check with God whenever you already know the answer in your own heart. He didn't actually sought the Lord concerning it. We don't ask because we already got the answer figured out in our own minds and in our own heart. That's why Balaam didn't ask. And we see in verse 9 that God takes preventive measures with him. He tells him, he said, comes to Balaam, and God came into Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" And in verse 12, God gives Balaam a resounding no. You're not to go with him. You're not to curse the children of Israel. And God said unto Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them, and thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Do not go with these men, and do not curse my people." He tells him that. He absolutely tells him not to do it. And this time Balaam did what God told him not to do. He didn't do it. "Get you into your land," he tells him, "for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you." But in verse 15 of that same book of Numbers, in verse 15, we see Balak ups the ante. He sends more princes. He sends more riches. He sends more gold. And it's in verse 17, "And I will promote thee into the very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people." In verse 18, it sounds like Balaam is shutting him down again, doesn't it? "And Balaam answered and said unto the servant of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go. The word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Sounds like he's found his way, doesn't it? But in verse 19, this is where it gets interesting. "Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." Can I ask you something? God's already answered him. He told him no. Why was there a need for him to stay one more night? There wasn't. There wasn't. And again, he doesn't search God. He doesn't ask God what he needs to do. He goes ahead and stays, and he's telling him, "I'll just double check with God to make sure it's what God wants." The way of Balaam. Are we like that sometimes? Do we not do that sometimes? "Well, God, are you sure you don't want me doing this? God, are you sure you want? Are you sure?" And God's already given us the answer. Okay, now guess what? Balaam, he doesn't check with God again, but God shows up again. And he tells Balaam, he said, "And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If we call this a condition, if." He says, If the man come to thee, call and rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do." He told him, "If they come back to you, then you rise up and go with them, if they come to you and call for you." But guess what they didn't do? They didn't come back. If you look at verse 21, "Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab." They didn't come and call for him. He got up and did it on his own. That's why we got to the point where he was going to destroy him. How many times do we do stuff on our own. We get in trouble. We get in trouble when we go, when we try to take things on our own. God never told him to go meet them. He said if they come. I'll tell you what. Have you ever laid out a fleece? Remember back in the Bible where he laid out the fleece and said, Gideon laid out the fleece and he said, well, if it's this way, if it's wet or if it's dry, he said, don't get mad at me, but he kept laying out the fleece. Can I tell you something? I believe there's people that will lay out the fleece till they get the right answer they want. Amen. Balaam knew what he was doing was wrong, but he did it because he thought that he would have something to gain from it. That is what's meant in 2 Peter 2:15 when it says, which have forsaken the right way and are going astray following the way of Balaam. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Balaam was going to do it whether he got God's answer or not. This is the way of Balaam. He made his decision not based on clear statement of God's word, but he made the decision on the outcome only because he thought it would benefit him. That's the way of Balaam. That's the way of Balaam. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. He thought there was going to be something to be gained. He thought that, well, you know what? I'm going to get this high position. I'm going to get all these riches. I'm going to get all this paid for being this what they wanted me to do. He thought he was going to get it. He took something God said and twisted it so he could use it as an excuse to do what he wanted to do. How many of you have been down that path? I have. I'm standing up here today before I tell you, I have. I thought, well, you know what, God? Just use God's word to twist it a little bit and try to make things work my way. I found out it don't work my way. So what do they do? They make merchandise of you. It's what it said in 2 Peter there. They love the wages of unrighteousness. They take the word of God. They twist it so they can benefit from it. Do you see it today, brothers and sisters? What Balaam is the Old Testament version of what you see on television today. Amen or oh my. It's exactly what he is. That's the way of Balaam. Balaam is the originator of the prosperity gospel that is prevalent in today. TV and Facebook and YouTube, wherever you look, he is the first prosperity. He's the one that originated this. Balaam is alive and well today in churches across this nation and around the world. That is the way of Balaam. Absolutely is the way of Balaam. Balaam is willing to do and willing to say, is willing whatever it takes to keep the money flowing in. He was falsely representing God. He falsely represented God because he was a prophet. You know, his prophet is what motivated him. He wasn't the right kind of prophet. His prophet is what motivated him. That's the way of Balaam, making decisions of what could get him gain. Now turn to Jude, which goes right along with 2 Peter. We're going to talk a little bit here about the error of Balaam. I'm not going to read it, but if you read Jude and you compare it to 2 Peter, where I was just at, you'll see that they go, they're just like sisters. They go hand in hand. In Jude 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. The next verse there, in verse 12, even takes it a step further. It tells, I'm going to read it out of the NIV version here. These people are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualms, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. The way of Balaam leads to the error of Balaam. Absolutely, it does. The error of Balaam is using God's grace as an excuse to do whatever you want. You said it this morning. That's the error of Balaam. The error of Balaam leads us to this. What it tells us is, and I'm going to get more into that here a little bit down the road here, but what it says is, what Balaam was doing, his excuse was, you know what? God had told me to do it this way, but if I twist it around a little bit, I can say I'm going to do it my way, and it's okay because God had told me something else. I'm telling you, folks, it's out there today. Do not use the excuse of grace to do whatever you feel that you want to do. Turn with me to Revelations 2:14. When God showed me this down through the week, man, I tell you, man, it just opened my eyes. Like I said, examples. Examples. Revelations 2:14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the what? The doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast stumbling blocks before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. The doctrine of Balaam is how he showed Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. You know what? You know how I'm gonna get it. This is so like so many people today. In Numbers 24:25, I'll give you a chance to read back, because we're going to go back to that, then come back and forth. I know I'm bouncing everywhere, but as I wrote this down, praise God, this just jumped out at me. Numbers 24:5. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. It's simple. We see, you would think, would be the end of the story, don't you? They all went back home. They couldn't curse the people, the children of Israel, and it seems like they went back home. But Balaam returned to his home without the gold, without the money, without the promotion, because he could not pronounce a curse upon the children of Israel. But go to the very next chapter. Verse in chapter 25, I'm going to read the first three verses. Balaam's going. Verse 25 of Numbers. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And you think, when you get down to verse 9, there was a plague that killed 24,000. If you look over where we read in 1 Corinthians, it says they killed 23,000, what did it say? In one day. 24,000 died total. It killed 24,000. There's no discrepancy in the scripture. Don't let anybody tell you that. He's telling you that 23,000 died in one day because of this plague. And 24,000 died total because of it. And in the same event, listen, so Balaam tries to curse the children of God, but God wouldn't allow him, so he leaves. So what happened here? In the very next chapter, it said God's mad at Israel and sends a plague upon them. Not because of some curse that Balaam put upon them, but because of the choices that these people made. This is important. And to get Balaam had something, and yet Balaam did have something to do with this. And I'll show you why here in a little bit. Now remember, we're talking about the doctrine of Balaam. That's what I'm trying to get across. Turn to Numbers to see the final battle with the Midianites. I think it's 31. Chapter 31. This is very interesting. Chapter 31, 7 and 8. And they warred against the Midianites, as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian, besides the rest of them which were slain, namely Eva and Rehakim and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian. Who else was there? Balaam, also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. What's he doing there? What was he doing with the Midianites? Remember, he supposedly went home. Look at verse 16. And behold, these, which he's talking about, these is the Midianite women, caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespasses against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. We don't have those details over in Numbers 25, but when we read over in 31, Balaam was all over this. You know what he did? He went home and he got to thinking, well, no, I couldn't curse them, but he got an idea. I know how that I could get them. So he went to Balak, the king, and he told him, you send your women in amongst the camp. And he said, you'll see. He said, and they will commit whoredom with them. And they did. And that's what caused it. He had his hands over, all over. God promised the children of Israel that they would forever possess the land of Canaan. That was not going to change. That's what he said. You're going to possess it. But his protection and his blessings upon them depended on them keeping the law or not keeping the law. Depended upon whether they followed the ways of the Lord or forsook the ways of the Lord. They could either bring God's blessing upon themselves or remove themselves from God's blessing. They could either enjoy the promises of God or cut themselves from the promises of God. They could either invite God's protection on their nation and upon themselves, or they could cause their enemies to oppress them. I'm telling you, look around. Look around what we are doing today in this nation. Look at what we're doing because we are saved. Listen, there's a lesson for each of us in this story right here. An example. Because we are saved by grace and we should praise God for that. Amen? We are saved by grace. We are kept by grace and praise God for that as well. We are. When I got saved, I received imputed righteousness. Praise God. Praise God. We all did. And what Balaam said about Israel could be said about each and every one of us. You know what he said? God has not beheld pervasive in us. Our sins, once they're forgiven, are behind us. Amen? The sins that I committed back before God saved me, they are behind me. The devil may try to bring them up and people might try to bring them up, but those are behind me. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's behind me. And all those things would be wonderful. But listen to me. But to take all that, what I just said, and conclude it doesn't matter how I live, that's the doctrine of Balaam. That's right. Amen. That is absolutely the doctrine of Balaam. Just to live however you want. That thinking and that teaching and that approach to life is a stumbling block to the people of God. It absolutely is. There's a lot of people that are down and they're depressed and there's other things going on in their lives and they're Christians. And what has happened is they think that just living any way they want is what's good, and it's not. Who will tell you it doesn't matter how you live or what you do, you're going to cut yourself off from what God has for you. Amen? You're going to do it. The idea that a child of God can join to the world and live like the world and act like the world and think like the world and dress like the world and sing like the world, and I could go on and on and on and entertain themselves like the world. And it brings it into the church and think it's no big deal. I'm telling you, it is a big deal. That is the doctrine of Balaam. We are saved by grace. We are just trying to reach people. Listen, that's the doctrine of Balaam up and down. Jude 1:4, for there were certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:1, what shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He goes on to say, Galatians 5:13, For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. If you're saved, the Bible says you have liberty. Amen? Amen? But listen, only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, what's it say? You serve one another. Anything opposite of that is the doctrine of Balaam. Today's Balaam of the world, they will tell you it doesn't need to be the stark difference between God's people and the world. It just doesn't need to be that way, preacher. You're too old-fashioned. Can I tell you something here this morning? Praise God for old-fashioned people. I don't care if you're 15. I don't care if you're 103. Thank God for you. Because we need more of that in the churches today. Let's just all get along. Let's just all get together. It's what some of these churches will say. I say no. You see, Balaam couldn't curse the children of Israel with his lips. But what he did, he enticed them to come over where they invited sin into their lives. Do you understand this morning that there are going to be times in your life that, you know what? That things are going to invite you, are going to try to pull you away from what God has for you. The blessings that He has for you. The things that God wants for you. There are going to be times in your life that's going to be that way. Remember this. In examples. God wants us to learn from this. 1 Corinthians 10:1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. 1 Corinthians 10:11 and 12. Now all these things happen for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Wherefore, let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. What a somber warning. Is it not? Everybody's life can be used as an example. Unfortunately, can I tell you, most of the examples are bad. And I'm talking about the church as well. I'm talking behind the pulpit. The doctrine of Balaam is saying, you can yoke up to the world, what it's saying. No, you can't. No, you can't. You see, Balaam thought that he was doing was going to turn out all right. He thought everything that he was doing was going to turn out all right. If you want to sum up the way, the error, and the doctrine of Balaam, it's in two words. Carnal-minded. Romans 8 lays it out perfectly. Romans 8, 6 and 9. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is at enmity between God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, and it leaves it with this, he is none of his. Any Dave Long talking? That isn't Greg Phillips talking. That isn't any teacher in here talking. That's the Word of God saying that. Balaam was killed by the same people he tried to deceive. Amen? Balaam also was slew by the sword, it says. Folks, we have areas of compromise in our lives. Is carnal mindedness slipping in? You know that. I'm not standing up here. I don't go around trying to follow your lives and see what's going on. But you know that. You know what's going on in your life. Numbers 31:16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespasses against the Lord in the matter of Beor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. 24,000 people died because they listened to the counsel of Balaam. Think about that. Think about that. 24,000 perished because instead of listening to God, instead of listening to God's word, they thought it was okay to listen to a man. It's never okay to listen to just a man. Praise his name this morning. Thank God this morning for each and every one of you. The way, the error, and the doctrine of Balaam. Remember that. It's real. It's not just in the Old Testament. Peter and Paul and bring it up into the New Testament and tell us. That's examples for us. That's examples for today's church. That's examples for you and your family in your life. Belinda, you can come get a song. Those are examples for each and every one of us. I'll tell you what. As I read that and I thought about that, and I said, Lord, you know, that is... Whenever I thought of Balaam, Greg, I always thought about that donkey. That's all I thought about. All I ever thought about. Because that donkey talked, and that donkey was going to get killed, the donkey told him. That's all I ever thought about. But whenever I got to digging into it and found out, there's way more to this story than meets the eye. It's important. If God put him in there and mentioned him and earthed him 58 times. You know that's more than Mary was mentioned? More than some of the apostles were mentioned? It's important. We get a song this morning.